So the Corth Small Business Podcast has been launched for a couple months now. Have Brian and Matt learned anything? We're going to share our observations for you today. This is the Corth Small Business Podcast. We have business conversations for the Corth commute. I'm Brian Rump.
And I'm Matt Garrity from Matt EG Digital.
So have we learned anything from this podcast?
Odd question, Brian. About the podcast in general?
Or just from the experience of the podcast. So I think, you know, in this episode, we're going to give some observations. We don't really have a lot of rules, but, you know, going forth in this, venture together and launching a podcast and is like launching a business. So I think we've probably learned some lessons around, you know, podcasting, marketing, the local small business environment. What have you learned?
Yeah, rule number one of podcasting is no rules, of course.
No rules.
It is funny how we didn't really have any rules to start out with. I think I had mentioned I wanted to be as true to myself and professional self on the podcast as possible. So I didn't want to go full, this is Matt all the time with my kids, friends, family. Want to keep it a little bit more professional. But it's been an interesting couple months for a lot of reasons. I learned a lot from marketing perspective, from an Instagram perspective. I've learned a lot about podcasting. It's never as difficult to do a podcast as you might think, which is like maybe my ultimate learning. And definitely encourage people to do it. We were really strategic with how we set this up. We did kind of put our heads together and slowly go into it with a plan. We had recorded like a dozen podcasts ahead of time before we launched. We got the website ready. We got all our social stuff ready. And then we had a date and we launched it all and executed that strategy, which still felt kind of rushed to me from a marketing perspective. But I don't know if anyone else even feels that or notices that. Like, you probably had no idea. And it's still an evolving strategy that we're coming up with. But I've been amazed how easy it is to get on these things and talk at a minimum.
Yeah, and I think that's, our plan and our style was really focusing on the business conversation and getting on and talking. I think we chose this as a format versus other podcasts, which might be scripted, but try to look like they're not scripted. They could have, segments and, a lot of sort of production and pulling things together. So in a way, the easiest thing that we do is sitting down and recording podcasts. So I think that's a really good observation is like, just start and just do it. We recorded, as you noted, like a dozen episodes before we launched, which I think is really good for any type of project. If you're creating content, if you're even creating your business, it's like getting a bunch of stuff ready so that from day one, if you get a curveball, you're not panicking. So, if we had launched it and we were going to record and launch one a week and then something happens, suddenly you miss that week and then you're off your cycle and it's easy to, spiral downward from there.
For sure. I got feedback this past weekend about someone listening to the podcast and they liked how conversational, easy flowing it was, which was something I was super happy to hear and very proud of because that is something that we did intentionally try to do. We made a note of not making too many notes. And I think every podcast that goes by, I write down less and less notes. At first, I remember the first one, I was so nervous. I had like full page written out of notes. And the second podcast, maybe a bit more, all that. Now for this podcast, we've actually found, and we've talked about this off air, that the less we prepare for these conversations and the less notes that we have, we feel as if the podcast turns out better. And it's a conversation. Like for this podcast, I have 3 words written down. And they're not, not even very good. I'm not even entirely sure what I meant by them.
See, I have a whole page of just some great notes, but they're random. And partly that's really just for me to get my mind prepared so we're not walking into it totally blind.
Yeah. Did you, you used to do the podcast solo, right?
Yeah. So we have an early version. Those episodes are not publicly available, but we may pull some up through the archives. Especially we'll shout out to Dana, the book lady in Fenland Falls, who she has some pretty good marketing, and that episode was the most listened to, which is interesting by a large margin. I don't know if she just opened it up and listened to it every day, or just people love a good book lady. But yeah, I used to do it solo.
Were you always doing interviews on it, or were there times when you just spoke for however long you felt necessary?
It was just interviews, and I wasn't consistent with it. So it's interesting, like, you know, if we dive into, I guess you could call it failure, is it was a solo project. I had recently quit a job or left a job that I was working at. Wasn't exactly sure what I was going to do. Loved podcasts. Thought the Core of the Small Business podcast should exist. So I just started doing some interviews and posting those. And then I quickly learned sort of the lesson of when you don't have that set plan, when you don't have, you know, all the things that we've sort of intentionally done, I didn't really have that. And then it just, I got busy and, you know, didn't get so many episodes done. I also realized that I thought it would be way better with a co-host. So thank you, Matt, for being the co-host.
I wonder often if I could do a solo podcast. I'm very comfortable talking, and the more that I do it and I'm intentional and I'm thinking about it, I think the better I am. And I think I could do a solo one, but I'm also just concerned it would be a total mess. And also I wonder about this podcast too. Like, no offense, I wonder who the heck is listening to this and why they are. I would do the same for the solo.
If you are listening to this right now, send us an email, set it up at coreofthesmallbusinesspodcast.ca or on social and let us know, because there are listeners. So that is a thing that we've learned. We're not going too crazy on some of our statistics. I think at the start, you know, everything I've read from the blog and podcast community, and I've dabbled a little bit or almost started a personal financial sort of product. And in that process, I've gotten to know several personal finance bloggers. They all sort of say the same thing, like, don't look at the stats for 6 months. I've peaked a little bit. I still haven't put in the process of how to actively check, because we're on all the different platforms like Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify. I think there's a couple other ones that sort of all pull from somewhere, and you have to go to different spots to get some of the stats. But everyone I've looked at actually has listens on it. We're also getting plays on the website. Not a crazy amount. I think we set out with, I sort of joke about being happy with dozens of listeners. So, you know, that would be fine with me. But, you know, it takes a while to get listeners and find out, yeah, who's actually listening, because that is our target market, is the people that actually take the time and listen. We're not trying to signal to other people, but we want to create something that is valuable to those who listen to it.
Yeah, for sure. I've been surprised by the amount of actual traffic we're getting to the website. And that's been not shocking, but a bit surprising to me. And it's grown rather quickly, and that will, like, I know how these things work. It's going to continue to grow, especially being found on Google, as we intentionally have made efforts to do that. So that's been really cool. The biggest thing I've noticed or been taken aback by with this whole podcast was the reaction on Instagram and the amount of followers we got so quickly. I have done 24 social media accounts since I started Matty G Digital. I've never had one blow up like this before. I've had great success right away, and then it sort of just steadies off. Or I've had accounts that very steadily at like a very recurring pace just continue to grow. I've never had one have 300 new followers in not even a month and a half before. There was that first week that we launched it where it literally felt like it was exploding. And I was like, this is really, really, really cool. And I've never been one to care too much about my followers. I take pride in my Instagram account for Matty G Digital, that it's primarily small business owners. And I like that. And that's my focus. I'm not buying followers. I'm not super concerned about my friend's mom and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's been fascinating to see this one's blown up so quickly, 300 plus followers in a month and a half. And again, it's not all our friends' moms. It's just small businesses around.
None of my friends' moms like this. I don't even think a lot of my friends do, like, which is classic in small businesses. Sometimes your friends and family, like, they don't even know what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. I had my aunt email me a week ago and was like, what do you do? And then and my wife, a month ago or a couple weeks ago, actually apologized to me. She was like, I feel bad that I've not been liking your stuff on your podcast, or should I be listening to it? Because it's something you're doing and I feel like I should support. I'm like, don't listen. You're not going to like it. You'll have no interest in this.
Yeah. 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 It's the same. I wrote it. One of my notes here was to mention about followers, like not all followers are equal. And I think that is this, you know, we're focusing on small business, the right followers. There's no ego tied up with the number. But I think we both love the quality of the followers. I do notice that every now and then we get like a weird one that comes in. It's like podcast equipment, something, something. And then I see sometimes our follower count drops a little bit. So we lose a few followers, but sometimes it's those people who are trying to make us follow them back. But I know I've been intentional and just following small business accounts that are reasonably the Kawarthas or, you know, similar types of sort of smaller areas.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's been a big part of why this has grown so quickly on Instagram. This is one of my first experiences with an incredibly broad consumer-driven brand, meaning literally any small business owner could be interested in this. Beyond that. So that's been interesting. So I thought, okay, maybe it's because of that, because it's not universal, but it's pretty broad. But I also am now really quite certain it's because of all the work you did of following local businesses, and then these local businesses are recognizing what they should be doing with their neighbors and their supporters and generating that local support and seeing like, oh, there's someone locally in the Kawarthas trying to do something cool, maybe a little bit different, a locally minded business podcast. Let's support it. Maybe they'll never listen, but let's follow it. Maybe there's something I learned from it. Maybe I'll listen to it one day. Maybe I can recommend a friend to it, all that kind of stuff. Whatever it is, I think that's been super effective.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that again, whether they listen right away or not, it's like any business, right? It takes multiple impressions before people A, know you exist. And then it takes more for them to do business with you. For us, the doing business is listening. What's really cool to me is a lot of our likes on the pages are businesses that I don't know anything about. Like, I found them on Instagram. They're not friends of mine. They're not friends of friends. So like, those mean a lot to me when they're like liking or interacting with our content. We've received several direct messages from people, again, we don't know, who are reaching out. They have ideas for the podcast. Some people want to be on the podcast, which is pretty cool. It's just really neat. And it's kind of fun too to run. It's kind of like a small business Stan account. Like, we're not trying to sell people stuff. We're cheering them on. You know, I like people's posts. I don't know about you, but since doing this, I've spent money in new businesses that I haven't before because of it. So I'm seeing their Instagrams. You know, I love watching the Instagram stories, and I've learned a lot about Instagram marketing from there. You know, the importance of reminding me who you are, what your business is, where you are, what you do, how to do business with you. 'Cause there's a lot of cool businesses around. We're barely scratching the surface, but like in the Kawarthas, there's small businesses everywhere, and people are doing like some world-class stuff.
Absolutely. In the Lindsay downtown specifically, whatever, I should know this, but within the parameters of Lindsay Street and Queen Bridge, or Victoria, actually, along Kent Street there, William, a couple of those streets, blocks at least, there's 180 something businesses. You can walk from one end to the other in less than 5 minutes. That's how small that area is. That's been one of the coolest things I've learned also from being a part of the podcast on Instagram, is learning a lot of new businesses within Lindsay. I used it the other day to cycle through a couple of different businesses that I was like looking for pricing from. And I was like, the best way to do this, I'm going to go to our Instagram and search for this word. And a whole bunch of people popped up that we were already following, and I reached out to them. So that was great. And I've only been in the area for 3 years now, going on 3 years. And I've been amazed by all the stuff that's going on in Peterborough from the food scene and restaurant scene specifically, like the cuisine and like the cool hipster millennial type of restaurants that are opening up there are wicked. And using it almost as a directory anytime I'm going out to Peterborough, like, oh, where am I going to hit up for lunch, or what am I going to grab on the way? Because there's some like incredible cool things going on there. Peterborough is very much becoming, maybe it already has for years and I'm just new to this, but it's becoming quite a scene food-wise. And it seems very much like a big city restaurant-wise, just within this cool little college city, if you want to call it that.
Oh, yeah. And I think in some ways it's been doing that for a long time. I joke that like I went to university in Peterborough, and like my first real food, like flavor, was like really eaten in Peterborough at some what were probably early hipster restaurants that just sort of blew my mind. I think I've only ever once eaten at a chain restaurant in Peterborough. And whenever we go out for dinner, like we usually go to Peterborough, and there's some cool spots there. But you know, there's places I've forgotten about that are on Instagram. There's places that I've always like meant to go, and they've shown up as followers. I'm like, oh yeah, I've been meaning to try this place out, and then I've gone and done it. Which is, you know, I think it shows the power of Instagram and the importance, you know, if we get on our marketing soapbox of, you need to have Instagram, you need to be reminding people like me, hey, you want to come here? Like, here's something cool we have. Like, come here on your Saturday morning and, you know, buy this from me. You know, but remind me who you are, where you are. There's been a few businesses where I still don't know where they are. You know, put your location right in your profile description. If you want, you know, that energy and the cross support of small businesses, like, you know, let us know where you are so we can come find you and be a patron there.
That's been something you've complained to me off air a lot about, and I won't mention it. I looked at that one profile today, and you were right. They don't mention where they're from, and they talk about curbside pickup. It's like, where is the curb to pick it up? Like, where are you dropping it off?
You even give me a town, right? Yeah. And if you don't want to know us to really know where you are, maybe have a message about, like, when you order, we'll give you a time and place. Like, you know, be specific about how to do business with you. Same with things like, is it something we need to pre-order? You know, is it something where you do walk-ins? You know, we're in a currently in a pandemic. Some people have reduced hours, or they're just doing business a little bit differently. And Instagram's a good way to, you know, tell your story and, you know, just clarify how it works. Cause I know I'm not a huge shopper. I'm not going to be pushing up against any rules. I don't like sort of the confusion of not knowing what to do if you go to a location, and it's kind of confusing. But if people are like, oh, you know, pre-order and pick up at this time, if we could shout out, Amigo Street Tacos and Fresh Fuel. I know we've both picked up tacos, but it's pretty easy. It's like order on Tuesday, pick up on Fridays, and you just, you know exactly how to do it. So I think that's, you know, a good strategy.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like Instagram can be, is being used as a directory, as is Facebook, as are other social platforms. So you need to make sure that you're on there, you're talking to people, you're explaining to people who you are, what you offer, whatever it is that they're looking for. I think after Google, and this is terrible because I can't back this up with any sort of stat right now, but I was told one time by someone that I trust dearly that the second largest search engine in the world is actually YouTube.
So interesting.
People search on Google more than anything daily. And then second of all, it's YouTube, because all the time that they're searching stuff. That's going to start rolling out more and more, maybe not with Facebook, but with Instagram specifically. And it's a great way to communicate with people.
Even because it just tells the story quickly. I don't have to read. Yeah, it's great. YouTube. I'm not a big YouTube follower, which is interesting. My cousin, shout out to Joshua Tweedy, is like a YouTube partner and has like just a crazy number of people following him on YouTube. But it's a powerful platform that, you know, again, people could make more use out of that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing I've been, now we're kind of veering off with observations, and we're talking more about Instagram a bit and what's going on globally. But the thing that I've noticed a lot that's been extremely frustrating on Instagram of late throughout this pandemic is you're getting a lot of different information from different sources about your business right now. Meaning going to a business, the hours are posted on the door. The hours on Google are different. The hours on their website are different than anything else. And then also on Instagram, if people have clued in their hours or not, they're completely different. So that's something that's very challenging, but it shouldn't be. It's very hard to update those things, but keep those things in mind from a marketing perspective. Just because I like to use Instagram doesn't mean that you like to use Instagram. Maybe you're going to go check out their website. Some people are going to use Google. You need to make sure all these things are aligned, and it can be very frustrating. And you might, because they get to the door and you're closed and they don't know when you're going to be open, and they're getting different messages online about when it is opening. So something to consider.
Yeah. And I think that to bring us back to podcast observations, one of the notes I had was just the details that are everywhere. So you have different platforms, different fields. So that's, you know, in setting up our marketing, you know, at the top, you talked about how rushed it felt. I felt it a bit too, because I've tried to help out. I try to, you know, post some things. I see things that I maybe wouldn't do the same way, but then I'm like, well, do I really want to fix it or change it? Or like, there's just little bits of stuff everywhere. And you know, a lot of the keys to success you read in people who do blogs or podcasts or really any business is taking the time to like go through and do all those little things right and consistently. And it takes a little while to get them all and to realize where that needs to be. So I think like the hours for a business is a good example of that, of how many places that is. And how deciding to change your hours, you know, should sort of trigger a task that you have to go and change it everywhere, just so people could consistently know how to do business with you.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Anything else on that list that you want to get to before the end of this worth of commute?
I think just a couple things. One is knowing that you're not going to start anything perfectly. And constant improvement. I think we get better with every episode. We get better with every sort of post we're writing, description, like all those little things get better with practice. So like with any business, it's about being consistent, proving a little bit every time, not waiting till it's perfect to launch it. So it felt rushed. That's kind of good. But again, we set our expectations, right? We weren't expecting thousands of followers within the first week or thousands of listens. You know, we're building this slowly and not getting discouraged at all. In fact, I think we're impressed by the numbers, which is why we're doing this episode.
So that's with 30 followers after the first 30 days, like follower a day. That's great. Sweet.
Yeah. So like that stuff being awesome. It just is really neat, you know, be consistent. The other big thing really is like knowing your core mission and what you want to do. And I think you touched on it before. These are business conversations. And for the Kawartha commute, and we're running up on our time for our Kawartha commute. So we have a specific sort of 20 to 30 minute timeline. We want it to be conversations, not how-to episodes, not full of tips and tricks, not too much selling, and how easy it is to get sidetracked from that. And I think we've done a good job of intentionally planning some of our content and not getting sidetracked, but I can easily see how, you know, some people start wanting to be guests and we're like, oh yeah, let's have all these people and not really fitting into that conversations for the Kawartha commute and what people maybe actually want to listen to. So, you know, we have to be disciplined for some of that.
Yeah, because it's very easy for us to sit down and interview and talk to anyone. But we also set out, like you mentioned, to not just be very, very, very salesy. Of course, we want to come on and support businesses and shout them out like we've been trying to. But we don't want it just to be a conversation about, hey, tell me about your business and tell us why you're so great. So we need to find topics that we're interested in conversing about and something that's interesting to us besides just, well, tell me about this product. Like, that's not super interesting to me just to sit there and talk about. It's an infomercial, and that's not, I think, what this is all about.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, sort of my last note that sort of adds on to that is about tackling what scares you. So I think when we think of business conversations for our audience, some of those topics are maybe a little bit controversial, maybe a bit scary for us to dive into a little bit. I know there's been somewhere I'm like, do we want to do this episode or not? But I'm thinking, yes, we do, because we want to have those conversations. We don't want to pretend like the tough things don't exist. And I think sometimes you do your best when you're kind of afraid and tackling the tough things, because the easy things would be easy to have people come on and sell themselves. But, you know, we want to challenge ourselves a little bit more than that.
Yeah, for sure. There's like 4 episodes that we've done that I can think of where I was hesitant to talk about for various reasons. The e-commerce myths was a little bit concerning for me. Like, I didn't want to scare people about an e-commerce site or marketing. Cancel culture for obvious reasons. Hustle culture, didn't want people to think I was lazy. And even the show, because like me, I'll speak for myself. I've got, I think, interesting thoughts on telling people about shopping local. So there's been 4 that I can think of where I was a little bit hesitant business-wise to talk about, but we've I think, created a pretty nice, safe space here, and we're all always still trying to do things in like a positive way for local businesses and making sure we're able to provide some sort of insight into things that they might be interested in.
Awesome. Yeah, I think, and we got some great ones coming up. So stay tuned. That sounds like an episode to me. Thank you for listening. Again, if you are listening to this, send us a message. Let us know why. This podcast is for you. We want to tackle what you want us to tackle. So set it up at coorthofsmallbusinesspodcast.ca. Thank you very much.